Today I'm going to teach about how you not only have to be excited about the Word of God, but you need to let it take root in your heart, or Satan will steal it away. This will help you, so stay tuned. Hello, I'm Andrew Womack. Welcome to another Charis Daily Bible Study. And today I'm going to be talking again about the parable Jesus taught on the sower sowing the word. The last Bible study that I did, you know, we do this every day, 7 days a week, and we have different instructors. But last week when I was teaching on this, I began on this parable and I only covered 5 words out of Mark chapter 4, verse 14. And man, it was really good what I said. It was powerful. And I promise you, if you would get those truths, it'd change your life. So we have everything archived. You can go there and you can look at it. And also, I'm giving away this book. This is a book that I wrote many years ago, and we get a huge response. I mean, people, this changes people's lives. It's entitled Effortless Change. And we're giving this away. If you would go to charisdailygtn.com, you can sign up and get that sent to you, and it would be a real blessing. So I'm not going to stop on Mark 4, 14 the way I did the last time I taught, but let me read that. In verse 14, it says, "The sower sows the word," and Jesus is saying that this parable about sowing seeds is really not about being a farmer. It's about sowing the Word of God in your heart, and that the Word of God is to the kingdom of God the way that seeds are to this natural world. Nothing in this natural world happens without seeds. In the spiritual world, nothing happens without the Word of God. That's how important it is. So the Word was sown on 4 different types of ground. Here's the first type of ground that this seed fell on. In verse 15, it says, "And these are they by the wayside where the Word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the Word that was sown in their hearts." Now, you're going to find out that in every one of these situations, Satan comes against the Word of God. And this is one of the truths that I learned from this that really has helped me, is that the devil doesn't personally have it in for me. He's a miserable person. He hates everybody and everything, but he is petrified. He is scared to death of the power of God's Word. And all of the stuff that comes against us is really Satan coming, trying to steal the Word. You know, in just the last few days, I've had some things happen that demanded my attention. And it's things like Jamie said, "Man, I just hate this kind of stuff." And we hate it. But you know what it is? It's trying to get your attention away from the Word and looking at all of the problems and the things that happen. And if you don't understand this, you'll get to thinking, why did my car, die? Why do I have these flats? Why does this happen? Why do these things always happen to me? And you just think somehow or another it's fate. No, it's the devil trying to come to steal the Word. And you can become preoccupied. In one of these verses down here, he talks about how that the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and try and steal the Word. This says Satan comes immediately to steal away the Word. If you were to receive what I'm saying, and if you were to say, man, the Word of God is like seed. It's powerful. I've got to take these seeds and put them in my heart. And if you were to commit yourself to it, that doesn't mean that, man, from then on, everything is smooth sailing. What it means is you just got a huge target drawn on you. Satan, if he sees that you are taking the Word and you're sowing that Word, he's going to throw everything he's got at you. And some people, that might discourage you. I'm not saying it's not going to be without problems once you start standing on the Word, because Satan will come against the Word. But I am saying this, that if you will not compromise and if you will keep standing on the Word, you will overcome the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You will win if you commit yourself to the Word of God and let it take root on the inside of you, but it won't be without a fight. You need to recognize that Satan is doing all he can to get your attention off of the Word of God through circumstances and through other things. So this right here says he comes immediately. And the reason he was able to steal the Word, it likened it in the beginning of the parable. It was that the birds came and ate this seed. And it was because it fell on a wayside. Wayside is describing a place where people have walked. They've tramped the dirt down. It is so hard packed that the seed never got below the surface. It was just laying on the surface and the birds come and get it. If the word never gets down on the inside of you, if all you do is just read a scripture, but you didn't understand, it didn't really take root on the inside of you. Satan has access to that. Out of the four different types of hearts that this is describing, the only heart that Satan had access to was this first one. All of the others, he still continued to fight, but he couldn't come and just take it away from him. The only person that he could just steal the word from was the person in this first type of ground. And let me read this exact same parable over in Matthew chapter 13. This is the same parable. It's just recorded in a different gospel, and it says it just a tiny bit different. But over here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 18, it says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh that wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." There's a lot of ministers that will proclaim truth, but they don't explain it. A preacher proclaims, a teacher explains. And I'm a teacher, and so I may be a little bit prejudiced on this, but I'm not saying that preaching isn't important. There are some people that, you know, when they get in certain circumstances and they're just facing nothing but total unbelief, man, a preacher can proclaim and speak things under the anointing of God that'll bring conviction to people, and it can break through barriers that me as a teacher would never do. So there is definitely a place for preaching and just proclaiming that God wants you well, God wants to bless you, God wants to prosper you, and there's a place for that. But then you've got to come along and explain to people, all right, if God wants you well, how do you do it? You know what I'm doing right now? I'm explaining how the kingdom works. There's lots of people watching this that honestly, you believe that God wants you well, God wants you to prosper, you believe those things, but there's frustration in your life because you aren't, you don't understand how to get it. And so you've got this desire, and it says in, I think it's Proverbs 13:12, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life." And so if you have a hope for something, if you've seen that God wants you to have something, and yet you don't know how to get there, you don't understand it, it's a breeding ground for frustration and making your heart sick. So the first step in getting the Word of God working is you've got to understand it. I was raised in a church that was in Arlington, Texas. It was a Baptist church, and the Baptist Theological Seminary was just a short distance from us over in Fort Worth, Texas. And so, you know, our church was kind of a highbrow church where every time we had a visiting minister come, they were from the seminary, and they used these words that, you know, as a kid, I'd have to sit there with a dictionary to understand what they were saying. And they did that thinking that they were really awesome because they were so intellectual, but the average person couldn't understand what they were saying. You know, a good communicator is not a person that communicates on a level that's above everybody else. They communicate on a level that anybody can understand. Because if you don't understand it, even if you were proclaiming truth, and if the people can't understand how to take that truth and put it to practice in their life, Satan just comes immediately and steals away the word. There are people by the millions that go to church. And I'm not saying that all of the pastors proclaim things exactly the way they should, but they are speaking truth. But if you don't present it in a way that touches people and helps them to understand it, Satan just catches it away. And there's millions of Christians going to church that would be hard-pressed to tell you how anything in the kingdom of God works. They may pray and beg and plead and go to church and do things, but they don't know how to take the Word of God and implement. So this first type of person is a person that just heard the Word, but it never got down inside of them. It just lay on the surface, and Satan came and stole it away. Satan is against the Word of God. So one of the first things you have to do, if you're going to receive this teaching about the importance of God's Word, You've got to reach out. You've got to take it, and you've got to consume it. You've got to make it a part of you. You can determine how the Word of God works in your life. It's not just sovereign. It doesn't work. You have to reach out and pursue it. If you pursue it, you'll get it. If you don't, you won't. Man, that's really awesome. So the first type of person was a person that heard the Word. They heard the exact same thing that the person down here that produced a hundredfold. They heard the exact same Word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says it's an incorruptible seed. The seed is never the problem. It's the ground that it's fallen on. And this first type of person, this ground typified a person who didn't understand the Word, and because of it, Satan stole it away from them. The second type of person, in verse 16, it says, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the Word, immediately receive it with gladness." So these people differ from the first type of person that heard it in the sense that they weren't indifferent to it and they didn't just let it lay there and not even reach out and embrace it. No, they were excited about the Word. They received it with gladness. But the next verse says, "They have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the Word's sake, immediately they are offended." Again, in this second type of person, we see that Satan came against the Word again. This time he used afflictions and persecutions. Because the person had received the Word, they understood it, and they at least got it down inside of them to some degree. He didn't have total access to them, and he had to come against them with afflictions and persecutions. Boy, there is so much. I could teach literally for a week or two on these things. I'm just saying some things very quickly. Again, I encourage you to please get this book because it'll go into more detail. But there are some religious people that teach that afflictions and persecutions, troubles, trials, sickness, poverty, failed marriages, failed business, failure and all kinds of things, that this is the way that God teaches you and makes you better and brings you to Himself. This says that afflictions and persecutions come to steal the Word from you. I do not believe that God is the one that's the author of all of our problems. There are some people that teach that to grow, you got to have suffering and that this suffering makes you better. If that was true, then all of the people who've suffered the most would be the most holy. That's not true. The Word of God, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God will make you perfect. You don't have to have suffering and trials to do it. Now, you can learn through hard knocks, but there's a better way, and it's the Word of God. And God is not the one that's sending the sufferings and trials. This says that afflictions and persecutions came to steal away the Word from you. But notice that this is a person who was excited about the Word of God, but the reason that they didn't bring any fruit to perfection, to completion, was because they didn't have root in themselves. In other words, they didn't have a root system. In order for us to sustain growth, you've got to have a good root system. You know, I learned this when I was a kid because it was my job to, we lived in a place that had 23 pecan trees on our property. And those pecans would fall off the tree and they would get down inside the grass and they'd grow up. My dad tasked me with pulling up these little pecan trees because we'd had hundreds of pecan trees. And so it was my job, but being a typical kid, I just wasn't diligent about it. I would wait until the trees had grown, you know, to maybe 12 inches. And when my dad drove in the driveway, he could see them and tell me, "You got to go get that tree and pull it up." And I learned that if you waited until a pecan tree got 12 inches tall, it had 3 feet of roots. You couldn't just pull it up. You'd either have to chop it off or you'd have to get a shovel and dig it up. But if you would just get them when they first came up and just pull them up, you could pull them up. But I learned through that a tree, a pecan tree, had 3 times as much roots below the ground as what it had growth above the ground. And there are some people that as I'm teaching the Word of God or some of our other instructors, and you hear about what the Word of God will do, you get all excited. And man, for one day, you just sit there and you study the Word and you expect to have growth by tomorrow. But did you know that most of the growth is below the surface? It's not going to be visible, and it takes time. When I was in the sixth grade, my sixth grade teacher did an experiment, and he had a terrarium that he put on his desk, and I was sitting right in front of his desk. I had gotten in trouble for talking, and he put me right there on the front row so that he could keep an eye on me and shut me up. And anyway, because of that, he had this terrarium that was about this tall. It was 18 to 24 inches tall, and he had two terrariums. They were identical. Everything was identical, except in one he put about an inch or maybe 2 inches of dirt. In the other one, he put like a foot of dirt. And then he planted tomato seeds in there. And he set both of those terrariums on his desk. They both were in the same place. They had the same heat, the same exposure to light. We watered them both the same every day. And did you know the one that was in just 1 or 2 inches of dirt, that one sprung up first. It came up above the dirt, and it grew to like a foot tall. And it looked like that the one that had little dirt was actually doing better than the one that had a foot of dirt. But the one that just had a little bit of dirt, it grew to like 12 inches, and then it turned white and pale and died because it couldn't sustain the growth. The seed didn't have, it had enough dirt to germinate, but it didn't have enough dirt to really put down roots. And so it put all of its effort into growing above the ground, but it couldn't sustain the growth. And by the time that other one turned white and died, this other one had just broken the ground a little bit. But we kept watering it, and it grew so that we had to stake it up, and it produced tomatoes. And I really learned a lesson through that. That did you know that if you want growth and if you want fruit, it's not just something that you get excited and you try and get it as quickly as you can. You have to put down roots. And this is the reason that we have the Bible College, is because there are so many people that they've been touched by the Lord and they love God and they want to go out and make a difference, and yet they don't know what the Word of God says. And I can promise you that when the Word of God gets sown in your heart, Satan is going to come with afflictions and persecutions. He's going to fight against the Word of God. And if all you are doing is just thinking about fruit, but you aren't thinking about roots, you aren't letting these truths take root on the inside of you, then you won't be able to withstand the hurricane when it comes. You won't be able to withstand the winter and the floods and all of the other things. You know, when a plant is little, you have to put it in a greenhouse. You have to protect it. But once an acorn grows into this huge oak tree, man, it can withstand all kinds of things. And it's because of those roots. And so you've got to recognize that the Word of God has to take root on the inside of you. When I first saw this, it was right after Jamie and I got married. Now, I'd had some revelation from these parables, and I'd already started really basing my life on this. But Jamie and I had just gotten married, and I was still in the Baptist church, and I was going and listening to Kenneth Copeland preach every month. He would hold meetings in Will Rogers Auditorium in Fort Worth, Texas, and I'd drive all the way over there, and I'd go, and I'd get fired up, and I'd come back to my Baptist church, and for the first week or two, man, I would see things happen. People were getting healed. People were excited about the Word. But I would be criticized tremendously. The pastor of the church had come out against me. This isn't Baptist doctrine. And after a week or 2 weeks, I would be saying some of the same things, but it just wouldn't produce. And this happened so often. I mean, it happened over a year period of time. And it happened so many times that I got to where I was anticipating it. I said, man, I've got to go back to one of Kenneth's meetings and get fired up again, because I knew that it would only last for a week or two. And I was studying the Word with Jamie just right after we got married. And I remember as we read this verse, the Holy Spirit just revealed to me, this is the reason that you can't sustain that growth. You can only go for 1 week or 2 weeks because afflictions and persecution comes, people criticize you, and you get off the Word. You don't have root in yourself. You're preaching another man's revelation. There may be many of you who've watched me for years on television and think, well, I've never heard you talk about Kenneth Copeland. It's not because I didn't get started and receive things from him, but it's because of these exact verses. I made a decision. I said, I am never again going to have to say, well, Kenneth said, or somebody else said. I said, if God speaks to me and shows me a truth through somebody, I'm going to take it and I'm going to meditate on it until it becomes mine. And I'm going to get it rooted in me. And so I don't very often mention other people, but I do get things from other people. But it's just that once I hear it, I go and pray about it. And eventually it's God that speaks it to me. And I'll say, God told me. It has become mine. And this is why some people are not able to see things happen. You may hear other people say it. You may get excited, like it says right here, and you rejoice, but you don't have root in yourself. And I guarantee you, Satan will come against it. There will be problems. And if you aren't rooted, if this isn't so established in you that it can't just be plucked up, man, it's got deep roots on the inside of you, then you won't be able to sustain the growth. Even though you might begin to see some change, you won't bring any fruit to perfection. And so this is where a lot of people are. This is where I was when the Lord revealed this parable to me. And that was back in about 1972 or 73. And I mean, since that time, this has been one of the focus of my life, is that I'm not only going to get truth and be excited because I've seen things on the surface, but man, I'm going to take these truths and I'm going to meditate on them. I'm going to milk the Word of God for all it's worth, and so that these things become just a part of me. Did you know you could wake me up out of a dead sleep and ask me to share on what I'm sharing today, and I could preach this stuff. I don't have to go get my notes. I'm not criticizing other people that do it a different way. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that this has become a part of me. I'm telling you things that I live. It's my life. And so I don't have to go get my notes and go study and check something out. This is, the Word of God has become a part of me. If you poke me, the Word's going to come out. This is the way you got to be. That Word has to be just become a part of you. It needs to be rooted on the inside of you. And sad to say, very few people get past these first two types of soil. You know, I personally believe that the four different types of soil here are a progression. Nobody starts being 100-fold fruitful. But you start where you hear the Word, but you don't understand it, you don't have a heart for it, and Satan just steals it from you. Then you go through a stage to where you get excited about it, you see the potential, but you don't have patience. You go out and try and just immediately microwave your miracle, and you don't understand how important it is to let the Word become rooted on the inside of you. Then the next phase is where you go into a situation where the Word does start taking root, but then the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things begins to start taking the nourishment that should go towards the plant you want, and it starts going towards other things. Did you know your heart only has so much focus that it can give to something? You only have so much potential. And if you are putting a lot of your effort into all of these other things, it will choke the results that the Word of God wants to have in your life. So you've got to be exclusive. You've got to pull out the weeds. You've got to get rid of these things. And you know, weeds just seem like they grow naturally. Man, it seems like that all of us have things that try and come and capture our attention. You know, the very fact that you're spending time here on GTN and that you're watching this program shows that, man, you are putting some effort into the Word of God. But if you are like a typical person, most people may give 30 minutes to this or maybe an hour, but then they have large portions of their life that they just dwell on things that are counterproductive to what you're doing right now. Right now, you're hearing words from God, from His Word, that could literally transform your life. And then some people will go and wash this down with a movie or a book are something that is against everything that you've heard. And that's just like allowing weeds to come. And these weeds will sap the nourishment and the moisture, and it will keep that seed from producing its full benefit. So that third type of ground is where a person just, they are excited, the Word of God is rooted on the inside of them, but they also let other things take root. And then the fourth type of ground here, it says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. It's all concerning how much priority you give to the Word of God. If you want to have 100-fold return on the seed of God's Word that you sow in your life, you give yourself totally to it, completely to it. As Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, become a living sacrifice. And if you just literally give everything over to the Lord, and then in verse 2, you don't get conformed to the thinking of this world, but instead you get transformed by the renewing of your mind, that's the Word of God, you will prove the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. There's three types of growth here. It says 30, 60, and 100-fold. Romans 12, 2 says that you have the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. All of these things are describing that there's a growth. You have to be patient. The Bible says that there is seed and then time and harvest, and it's more like seed and then time and then harvest. And impatience will stop your harvest from coming. You've got to get to a place to where you aren't impatient. You know that you've planted the seed, and even though you may not see the germination because it's below the surface, you may not see the roots getting put down because you just can't see below the surface, you know that that seed's an incorruptible seed, and you just keep meditating on it, and then you will start seeing it come. And it will first be a blade, and then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. There's a growth process. But I tell you, if you would just mix faith with what we've been talking about and begin to do this, you could see a miraculous, miraculous return. Again, let me just encourage you that I've gone into more detail in this book than what I've done in these 30-minute Bible studies. And I'd encourage you to please get this. It's a 200-plus page book, and it's a gift to you. It's 210 pages, I think. All you got to do is go to charisdailygtn.com and you sign up for it there, and we'll send this to you. And I promise you, this would make a huge difference in your life. We've also got all kinds of materials. We've got a phone center with people there 24 hours a day, 719-635-1111. And you could call and receive material, but you can also call and receive prayer. And so we are just wanting you to get hold of these truths. This is the reason we do this 7 days a week, is teach the Word of God. We are sowing seed. And if you will become that good ground, the good ground didn't have more, it had less. Rock, hard place, cares of this life. And you don't have to be more, you just have to be less. You have to get rid of these distractions and focus on the Word of God. And if you'll do that, I can guarantee you God's Word will produce 100-fold. It has the potential of 100-fold, just depending on how much attention you give to it. So thank you for joining me today. I believe that this is an answer to many of your prayers. You see what's available, but you don't understand how to get there. I've shared a major key with you today, and I believe it'll be a blessing. So please remember to go to GTN, charisdailygtn.com, and request this book, and we'll send it to you as our gift. God bless you.